I am very grateful to have the former premier on the show. And I guess, what does it feel like, sir, when people call you, sir, in the royal sir way now, and now that you've been knighted? Good morning, Alder McLaughlin. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Dr. Doug. I'm great. Thank you very much.
Welcome back. What an amazing experience that we're just curious about in so many fronts. When did you find out that you were going to be knighted?
Well, the governor, His Excellency Mr. Martin Roper, called me in November. I was in the House. Well, no, November or early December, I can't remember quite. He actually messaged me and said he needed to see me at Government House. And he gave me that afternoon or the following evening. And I said, well, if the governor asks to see me, I'll be there as early as I can. So I went and I sat down. And he handed me a glass of whiskey because they know what my preference is at Government House.
Yeah.
And so I immediately relaxed because I knew I wasn't in any trouble because, you know, he wasn't going to give me a whiskey if I was in trouble.
Right.
And sat down and he said, I have something for you. And he handed me this letter, this very official looking envelope. And honestly, you could have pushed me over with a feather because that was the furthest thing from my mind. And I was speechless for quite a while. And to be honest, more than a year later, I still can't quite bring myself to believe it. But there it is. I don't know if I'll ever get used to people calling me sir, but I've got two sons that keep me very humble, as well as a bunch of friends who, you know, who tease me constantly. So I guess I'll have to get used to it. You know? I keep telling them, stop calling me sir.
So you go to Windsor Castle, and for folks that, you know, we've watched some stunning things happen. I mean, just amazing how beautiful that place is. Can you describe in your words for us and so many people that are on the roads listening right now of what Windsor Castle is like and what that experience was like walking into Windsor Castle to link up with the king?
Well, it is awesome. I mean, that's an overused word, but it truly is. The foundations for Windsor Castle were put in place in the year 1070. That's almost 1,000 years ago. And over the ages, it's been renovated, expanded. Different kings and queens have come and gone and done various things to it. We stayed in Windsor itself, which is a relatively small place, and the hotel that we stayed at was the Sir Christopher Wren Hotel. Sir Christopher Wren, I think many people will know, is, you know, one of the most highly regarded architects in history. He was an English architect, and we could see the castle from the hotel, and we actually walked by the castle because we got in there on Sunday morning, and the investiture was not until Tuesday morning. So we had, you know, a day and a half really to wander around the town and see things. And I mean, Windsor Castle and the estate there is absolutely massive, but it is also absolutely gorgeous. I wondered for a while why, you know, we needed to have a vehicle to take us to the ceremony, because the castle is so close to the town itself and to the hotel. But I think listeners might remember the long walk from the late queen's funeral procession.
Yeah.
Right. So we had to drive up the long walk and then get by various security personnel, and then let in to into the premises and go into the I'm not sure what they call it in modern day language. I'd call it a lobby, but I'm sure an anteroom or whatever, which is filled with all sorts of relics of ancient times, including the armor of knights who fought, and various firearms and knives and swords, and absolutely gorgeous, the most gorgeous paintings. And it really is an incredible experience. I've said people over and over again, there's no nation on earth, I don't believe, that does pomp and ceremony and pageantry the way that the British do.
Oh, number one, easily, right? Yeah.
There were over 100 persons who received their honors from King Charles III that day. But the whole thing was absolutely flawless from start to finish. Luckily, I was number two, so I didn't have to wait around for many people, because there were only two knights that were invested that day. The first was an Englishman, I'll call him that, a British gentleman anyhow, who was knighted for services to Her Majesty's Treasury, and then that was followed by mine.
Mr. McLaughlin, have you met Charles before on other visits, etc., and you had a chance to visit with him a little bit from what we hear on the reporting for the Compass. Did you spend much time speaking with Charles on this most recent trip?
Well, yes, I've had the privilege of knowing the now King for quite a few years, probably a dozen years, most of which, of course, he was Prince Charles. And I've actually been to his private residence in Highgrove at his invitation before, when I was Premier. And when he was here for the royal visit, I spent a lot of time with him as well, and we talked about a lot of things over the years. So, you know, he was very engaging and wanted to know first and foremost how well Cayman was doing following the pandemic. And he offered words of commendation on mine and the government's handling of that whole matter. He talked about his royal visit here and how much they enjoyed and how overwhelmed they were by the welcome of the Cayman people. And then he talked about his green agenda, if I may call it that, environment, and asked how the government was getting on with dealing with those important matters. And, we chatted for, I'd say, a good minute and a half, which in the context of that, with him having another 98 plus people to deal with, was quite long. Now, I just want to explain this quickly. There were no photographer allowed, no private photographer allowed in the castle. And so the photographs that we put out are all been those that were done following the ceremony. Some of them in St. George's Chapel, and then some outside. But inside, the ceremony itself was photographed. It was explained to us that there were 14 cameras there, hidden cameras that were operated remotely, as well as the cameras that the media did. So we have only just had access to those photographs, and indeed a video of my investiture, which is about 3 minutes long.
Wow.
But we have to get special permission.
Yes.
To be able to publish it. So I'm going to ask His Excellency the Governor if he can intervene and ensure that we get it, because I think the people of Cayman would like to see
100%
the ceremony.
Yes.
And the most, to me, obviously a very, very important event in my life and the life of my family. But I think it's important for the people of Cayman to see this ceremony, but also to get to be able to see how absolutely incredible the hall. This was called the throne room, where the investiture on my investiture took place. Some of the others were in other rooms, but the paintings on the wall, the decoration, absolutely stunning.
Please release that. That would be a joy for us to see. If you could put that on, like, yeah, your social platforms or whatever, I think Cayman would love to see that. That's fabulous.
Yeah. Well, we'll see where we get to with that. It might be limited to GIS. I don't know, but we have to get the necessary permission from.
Yeah.
From the folk who run these things
We're on with Alderman Gawk, the former premier, who was recently knighted by King Charles. We appreciate the time. Real quick, if we can, you know, we got to know you so many people knew and appreciated you as premier, but you were a wartime premier, I think. You know, I think you could because you were fighting this war against this enemy. And man, my memories of that time, and you know, everyone's got their own different memories of COVID and Mr. McLaughlin, it was every day we would plan our days around that press briefing at 2:30 when you're stuck inside and you can't go to the beach and you can't go grocery shopping and you can't go on the roads. Our world every day was that 2:30 press briefing, of which we got to know you. You would show up, Mr. Seymour, the governor, Dr. Lee, and the police every day with an update and a structured update. And there's no argument with many. You guys did such a great job of keeping this island safe and kind of incubated for a while. What are your memories of that time period, sir? And what are things that you're most proud of as far as accomplishments of that whole COVID era?
Well, as you said, I'm incredibly proud at Cayman's handling of that matter. And I say Cayman's because while I was along with the governor at, you know, steering the ship, you know, there were an army of people that made Cayman the safe refuge that it was. And so, you know, I continue to pay tribute to those Herculean efforts that so many people made, and my cabinet and my caucus who supported the hard decisions that had to be taken if we were going to keep our people safe. Because my overriding concern always was, and not that of my government, was, and I used to pray God every day, don't let any of my people die. Don't let any of my people die. And, you know, some of the measures were very difficult, and there were some people who were most unhappy with it. But as I said, you know, when your overriding consideration is the health and safety of your people, then I'm afraid sometimes that means that, you know, the economic, some of the decisions you take, you know, will have dire economic consequences. We knew we were going to crash the economy, but you know, as I used to say, you can always rebuild the economy, but you can't give people back life.
Right.
You know,
so. Right. Right. So how do you feel about 2023 now as you're looking ahead? We're getting out of the pandemic. I'm sure, sir, you see as you're out and about and traveling around, it feels like to me tourism's back. The stakeholders are happy. You're seeing full hotels. You're seeing occupancy rates that, you know, there's no rooms available because everyone's coming down and staying for a week or two. Or you're seeing the cruise ship numbers that bounce back nicely. What's your thoughts in our last minute here? So on 2023, sir.
Well, I'm glad to see the local economy has bounced back the way it has, and you know, government finances are doing well despite all of the looming threats of and talk of recessions. So I think on that front, Cayman is doing quite well. I just wish the government would get on. I don't want to get into partisan politics now, but I wish the government would get on with some of the key projects that need to be dealt with to keep Cayman strong economically and to improve the quality of life here. I mean, things like the whole issue with how we handle our solid waste, the issues with traffic, to name a couple of some of the immigration concerns, which are becoming increasingly problematic. I just don't see enough movement. Maybe there's movement behind the scenes, but there doesn't seem to me to be enough, you know, things happening on key fronts. And if we don't deal with these things, they're going to come up and bite us in another, you know, 6 months or a year. The traffic situation in particular is
getting worse. That's a whole other issue that I would really, really appreciate having you on again in the future in the coming days and weeks, because our number one topic here, especially among people that are listening to the radio on Morning Drive, as you can imagine, fighting on their way to work, getting through traffic, taking their kids to school, having to wake up earlier, having their kids have to eat breakfast in the car, especially Eastern districts, especially the jurisdiction that of which you're at in Red Bay. What you see it on a daily basis is one of the biggest choke points right there. What can be done about that? I'm excited to get your thoughts on that. We got to go, but thank you very much. It means the world to me if you're making time, and I appreciate you in a big way. We've always been big fans. My mom in the States, she always has thought how handsome you are and says, man, you know who I love? I love Mr. McLaughlin. So in California, in the U.S., she would watch the press briefings and say, he is so handsome. Anyway, my mom loved watching the press briefings for a different reason. But I'll tell you, we were really grateful for everything that you did during the COVID experience, sir. And congratulations on a life-changing experience and getting knighted by King Charles and sharing that hole with us. It really means the world to me. So thank you for your time.
Thank you for allowing me the opportunity. And tell your mom that she still has me blushing.
I love it. Great. I will. God bless. Have a great day today, Coon. Welcome back to the island. I hope I can get you on again in the coming days and weeks, sir. Have a great rest of your week, okay?
Okay, Doug.
There you go. Care.